sunshine in Denver, but it's only 35 degrees today.
Only 35.
That's it.
Hey, who's kicking us off? I see we're talking weather.
This is Tom.
Talking weather. What's up, Tom?
Well, as you know, I had that contract with the seller, and that's lapsed because I couldn't get my act together and get any buyers. So you sent me an email to, you know, I need to either just leave it alone or move on. So I started calling some buyers to try to get an idea what they wanted. One of the buyers was one of the Go Section 8 people that I had texted, and he had a little bit of interest. It sounds like he may have some interest, at least for buyers. It sounds to me like he's a wholesaler himself. Mm. He gets turnkey rentals and sells them. It sounds like, I'm not real sure. He was more interested in that particular property, and so I gave him some information about it, since that's how I contacted him to begin with. And I didn't ask him more about, you know, what he, you know, how many he buys a month, et cetera. It sounds like he does the postcard thing and a bunch of other different things, and then he sells them. Some of them he buys for his own portfolio. I'm not real sure what his deal is. I got to ask him more. But that just my question is, okay, so if he does show an interest, how do I go about that at that point? I mean, I don't have a contract at this point. I have a seller who's willing to buy. He doesn't want to be locked into anything. But I don't even have any photos because my bird dog was MIA, et cetera, et cetera. He was going to go there, and we never got it together for him to go there. It's been one thing after another with him. I need to get another property runner, but that's beside the point. What do you think I should do at this point?
Well, if you don't have a contract, there's nothing to sell. So if that deal, when you're talking to this buyer, you've got to get, regardless of where they want to drive the conversation, you've got to get information out of these buyers when you're talking to them. So that's fine. You can talk about this deal. You know, at this point, you just may have to go back and say, hey, that one's not, you know, this one's not available anymore as of, I don't, it sounds like you were talking to them today. When did the contract expire?
On the 20th.
Okay. So, yeah, you can't, without a controlling interest in that, don't be talking about it, because that's what agents do. So that one is currently off the plate.
I could just tell them that it's no longer available. I don't have to go any more into it.
Yep.
He can assume what he wants to assume. But yeah, okay. I'll get back in the conversation, at least to let him know. I mean, find out where he's buying and whatever. But if he's doing mailers and contacting sellers himself, what do you think he could still be a buyer? Couldn't he?
Absolutely.
Yeah, the numbers are right.
Yeah, for sure.
He could wholesale it out off of what I, you know, yeah.
Somebody who sends direct mail is, you know, they're spending money on leads, so that's something that somebody that isn't legit won't do. So, yeah, absolutely.
Right. Okay.
But you still, you know, I know Rob chimed in on that email. You've got to find your 5 to 10. And I don't know that you've I don't know how many buyers you've spoken to. I mean, do you have a really clear picture of what 5 people there are buying?
No. You know, over the many months I've been trying to do this, you know, I've gotten responses and I've called a few people, but I don't have hard numbers and hard figures like he was, you know, wanting me to do. So I need to.
Yeah. So that's the thing.
I need to go back.
That script. I mean, you got to ask him.
Yeah.
Just follow it. How many deals did you buy in 2017?
Yeah.
How do you finance them? How many are you looking for this year? Blow through those questions, and you know, just about everybody will tell them to you. I've really had zero kickback.
So you just tell them you're a wholesaler, and you
tell them you're an investor.
Find properties. You're an investor.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that should be, I mean, you can talk to five people typically within 30 to 40 minutes.
All I've gotten so far is
How many have you called?
Six today.
And how many did you talk
to? I got one.
Did you leave a message for the other five?
Yeah, I probably botched it. I didn't, I mean, I was like, you know,
what'd you say?
Say it. I said, well, it was the people that I'd already texted. With the deals and five of the six had gotten back to me. So I said, you know, this is, I called them with my own phone, which is not the phone from FreedomSoft. Cause I tested that out with my earphones and my mic. And if I use that phone number, it sounds like crap. So plus I wouldn't be able to get it.
What did you leave on the message?
I said, this is Tom. I'm getting back to you about the I sent you a text about something that you may or may not have had interest in, depending on the person. And just wanted to find out more about what you buy and where you buy them and what your needs are for deals.
So assume they're interested, not may or may not be interested, because now you're giving them an out.
No, I said, depending on the message, I said, if the person texted me back and they were interested, I said, I know you're interested in this deal, and if they weren't interested in that deal, I didn't mention the deal. That's what I was saying.
Right. So make those messages short and sweet. If they don't call back on your text or your voicemail, shoot them a text and say, hey, I just left you a message. When can we talk? Or when can we chat quick?
Okay.
To get them on the phone. So, Tom, you've got to put on your Superman mindset and your cape when you do this and realize that you have a ton of value to bring. So my hunch, I don't know, my hunch is people are responding more to how you're saying than what you're saying. If they're just not calling back or showing interest. I mean, just be super confident. Sometimes up front, right? Fake it till it's there. And that you really have reason to be. You're just having a conversation with these folks. But if you left, if you made six calls, I mean, and you left five voicemails and had one conversation, that would, I don't know how long the conversation was, but that was probably 20 minutes, maybe 25. And so at some point, you know, there's a relentlessness that has to kick in. And this is to do anything, but especially to get something moving, right? And that intel word that we talk about a lot is just that, you know, it's just sometimes it's just a simple decision that we're going to keep talking to people until I'm going to keep making offers. You know, it's not really the how to's like we talk about a lot on here. Of course we have to know what to do, but it's less about that. And it's more about just getting after it, the confidence we bring to the table. And just that until word. I mean, we've got a day here, and you know everybody's busy, right? But you've got to get on the phone and say, "I'm gonna dial numbers today until this happens." Or we have to bring somebody on the team that's gonna fill that role,
right?
Because it's about I'm gonna meet 25 buyers. I mean, you know, months in, there's no reason that you shouldn't have 20, 40, 50, 60 conversations. And so it's just a matter of saying, all right, I'm going to keep dialing until, or you've got to find somebody to do that part. So again, I don't, what's cool in FreedomSoft, use that number and turn on call recording. And if you do that and you leave a message or you have a conversation, then I can go in and listen to it and hear what's being said, or you can go in and listen to it and see how it comes across. Super valuable, that new feature that
didn't realize there was
here just a couple weeks ago. Yeah, you can record every inbound and outbound call in FreedomSoft. You just go to the My Numbers page, and there's a new little icon there that says Turn on Call Recording. That's it.
Oh, cool. Okay.
So here's what you've got to do. You've got to use the FreedomSoft number, no more cell phone, dial from Turn on Call Recording, and dial out. And that way you can hear what's going on.
Can I do that on my cell phone?
if a call comes in and it gets forwarded to your cell phone and you pick up because it went through FreedomSoft, it'll record it. On an outbound call, it can't be from your cell because it's not tied to FreedomSoft. Make sense?
So I can, I didn't know I could do that. Okay, so that's another thing I got to figure out. Okay, that's good. All right, cool.
Yeah, it's one button. Go to settings, go to my numbers, and click a little. There's like a little, I don't know, it's four or five bars or something. I don't remember what, when you hover over
okay.
this call recording.
All right, well, I know it exists, so I'll find it. Oh, okay.
Yep.
All right.
I mean, dial it, dial. Go Section 8 people, FreedomSoft landlords, people posting on FreedomSoft saying they're looking for a deal. I mean, you just got to be, you know, busy work. I mean, it comes down to three things. Generate leads, make offers, talk to buyers. If we can boil it down to three things that matter the most, those are the three. Without a lead, we have nobody to talk to. Without making offers, if you haven't made an offer, again, this is the number one KPI. So if you look back and you say, hey, I'm struggling, I'm telling you, don't go any further than how many offers did you make in the last 7 days. It's the only number you need to know. And again, if you have a bunch under contract, you can go back to that number. How many offers did we make? Well, we made 15 last week. Fantastic. Three things. Generate leads, make offers, talk to buyers. All the other moving pieces are in place just to allow those three things to happen. That's it.
So should I go back to talking to, you know, calling sellers first, or should I get this line of buyers, talk to them first?
Yeah, a couple things. So if you're going to be a one-man show, here's the other thing, too. You have a full-time job. This is going to be really, really hard for you to pull it all off. Because you've got to be all over this, right? There's nobody consistently in your business that's been doing either talking to sellers or talking to buyers. And so this is where it now sits. So my recommendation is get somebody on the phone talking to sellers and you talk to buyers. That would be best case.
If I can find somebody.
Well, of course
I had one. But, so far.
Until, Tom, I've blown through, you know, I've got one. I'm trying to hire two more, and we've blown through a ton of applications. So what? Post the ad again, talk to 10 more. Post the ad again, talk to 10 more.
Okay.
And that's where it won't happen unless you're relentless. I'm just telling you. That's for anybody. It just won't. I mean, the amount of, you know, so Brad and Rob have a, they're obviously in a partnership, but here's their agreement. Brad says, Rob's not going to outwork me. These are the two guys at the top. And Rob says, Brad's not going to outwork me. And Brad says, Rob's not going to outwork me. Not going to happen. We're getting after it. And that's the mentality at the very top of their business with their partnership. It's all hustle. I mean, I know I was chatting with Brad last week. He had a sales guy that was struggling to figure some things out. He went into the office and talked to him until quarter after midnight that night and then went home because they had to straighten some things out. So this is called business ownership, right? Whatever it takes, I don't care how hard I have to push. I don't care how many hours I have to work. And, right, I'm going to just keep looking until I find somebody. So, Tom, you have got to have somebody on the phone. You don't have the time to do it.
I don't.
So you have to. You've got to be talking to people in a sales position and talking to buyers. And somebody out there is looking. You just got to find them. Open more doors, turn over more rocks. And I'll tell you, one of the challenges, if you have a full-time gig, is that it doesn't have to work and you can still eat. So you're going to have to push extra hard as opposed to somebody who's burnt the bridge and said, this has to work, I'm not going back. Right? Because at the end of the day, and there are quite a few of you who have a full-time deal. So if a deal doesn't get to the table or whatever, okay, still get paid on Friday. Everything's fine. But all I'm saying is you're just going to have to be aware of it. And if you really want real estate to work, it's just about raw desire. There's no other way to put it. You just have to want it more than you want to breathe. And when you get there, then your mindset will just be, I'll do whatever it takes. And that's the magic mindset for anything. And I'm sure you can relate it to climbing some mountain. I know you have a good story about that, Tom, but you have a – yeah, I mean, when you're standing up facing down one of those, yeah, a lot of things could go wrong. You could clearly die. You could probably kill other people if you were the guide. And I'm sure you've gotten yourself into situations where you had a choice to make. Either I'm going to do whatever it takes and survive, or I'm going to sit here on the side of this mountain and freeze to death. That would be my guess, is that you know what that feels like. Right. Yeah. So this is your mountain. So every one of us, you have to decide. That's what it's really about. That's why the coaching piece is here, because the how-tos can all be delivered in a video. What we have to talk about is how do you get yourself in the right mindset?
Yeah, that inner game. This has been the hardest thing I've ever done, dude. I tell you what.
It has,
really.
I know.
It's the hardest thing I've ever tried to do. And I'm gonna beat it. I'm gonna do it. But man, it's just been harder than anything I've ever done.
So it'll be worth
it. It's all being between my ears. You know?
It is. Right. It's not that's the same for all of us. The biggest hurdle for all of us is the person inside our head. So you have got to, because you're limited on time, you have to find somebody to be on the phone for you. This is sales, and sales is a numbers game. It doesn't matter what you're selling. Real estate, widgets, diamond rings, doesn't matter. Talk to enough people, somebody will say yes.
All right.
So you've got to have somebody on the phone talking to sellers and you on the phone talking to buyers with a daily goal of that says, hey, I've got 3 hours or whatever I've got this afternoon. I'm not getting off the phone until I talk to 15. So,
right.
And then
tomorrow I'm talking to buyers, since we're on that subject, and I'm talking to a whole bunch of buyers tomorrow.
Get an ad posted tonight. Talk to buyers tomorrow. Let the ads come in. You can start reviewing them.
Ads for salesperson?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Who else?
All right, man. Thank you.
Yep.
Hey, Rob, this is Larry Allen.
Hey, Larry, it's Mike. But
I'm sorry, my bad. I'm looking at my phone, and it has Rob Swanson's success team.
Yeah, it does. No problem. How are you?
Pretty good, man. Pretty good.
Good.
So we closed on Thursday on this house in my local market. The title search just came back today, and the mortgage is $5,000 more than she thought. So we're splitting. She's eating $2,000 of the overage,
okay.
And my buyer's eating half of the $3,000, and I'm eating half of the $3,000.
How'd you get to the closing table without this info?
So we're not at closing. This was the result of the title search. So we went under contract.
I thought you said it closed on Thursday.
Oh no! We're closing this Thursday coming.
Okay.
Now,
I thought you said that last Thursday. Okay.
Oh, no,
that changes
things.
Okay.
Yeah. So we just got the title search back today and the preliminary HUD, and everybody, we just had the make or break conversation, but we're still together. So that's
nice.
That.
How
my,
did that conversation go?
Well, me and my buyer, we have a relationship. So he's done a lot of stuff with me in 2017. So he and I, I got the parameters from him before I talked to the seller, so that I can have a full arsenal. But the seller, we were trying to get her to split to get half, and then we were going to split. We were going to do 25% and 25% of the overage.
Okay.
But she had to net $10,000.
Okay.
So she could only go down two. So anyway, so that's fine. My second, I don't know who that was speaking just now. That was Tom, I guess.
Yep.
So I'm having some of the same issues that Tom is having, So I'm on my second. I had my second phone sales guy that didn't work out. My first phone sales guy worked the best, but after he worked for like 3 days, and after that he stopped, and we were supposed to talk 2 weeks ago, and I didn't chase him because I wanted to see if he was going to follow up on his own, and he didn't. So yep. He was gone last week, and his backup is the second guy. He was supposed to start last week, and he's sitting in the model home for this neighborhood, and the last house that they have to sell is that model house.
Okay.
But the closing fell through, so he couldn't start for me last week. He pushed it, and he was supposed to start for me today, and I was going to train him yesterday. And 10 minutes before our training, he texted me and said that he couldn't make it because his daughter was in the emergency room, got an injury, blah blah blah, which sounded suspect. But you know what can I say? I said okay, I hope she feels better. But
yep.
He did exactly what I thought he was going to do. He didn't follow up to reschedule, and that was yesterday. And he didn't contact me today to reschedule, so I'm done with him too. So I'm calling people. I'm back in my current market, and I'm still in El Paso. I feel good about everything, actually, though. I'm about to order some more leads for my current market while I'm working the leads that these guys were supposed to be calling.
Okay.
So I'm gonna call the rest of my El Paso leads. I already have a buyer in El Paso that's waiting for me to send her some things. What the first guy did accomplish is he found a lady that has the properties that we were approaching as a seller. But when she said she wanted market price, I called her back and I turned her into a buyer.
Yeah, I remember her. I remember you talking about her. Nice.
Yeah, so she's ready, and that gives me a little more confidence to go out here and do what I do in my market. So I'm going to go ahead and burn through those leads and see how I feel about that. But I'm also going to, in parallel, I'm going to go ahead and queue up leads for a couple other cities while I'm doing that. But I was hoping to have that other guy going because I have that job thing going on, and I'm having to push myself to do more after work. But I feel pretty good, though. I'm motivated. I like real estate more than I like engineering at this point.
Yep, yep.
So it's you know, my mind's right. So what I've learned from all of this is I just got to work harder than I want it to, but it's worth it.
Just to get it moving, though, right? And then here's the thing. You know, there isn't – I say that, and then I kind of back up. There isn't a way to bypass hard work on anything. Now,
right.
what you can do is work hard at getting good people in place, and that's what you should do. But it's going to take some work. So here's the thing, Larry. How many – I'm guessing you have plenty of leads. Don't go hire one salesperson. Hire two.
Okay.
Got to hire two. I mean, if you have 40 leads and that's it, one person's going to burn through them. But the reason to have hundreds and hundreds of leads or thousands is that now you don't have to go to the job world looking for one person. Find two. And if somebody
like
fizzles
that.
Out or – you know, his daughter probably is in the ER, and I hope she's great. But life, even with Chris, it's been a rocky start. He's great when he's on the phone. But, you know, I told you all his story here. He got started. Then his previous company went to pull his residual income, so he had to stop for 2 weeks, fly to Florida and try and figure that out. Then he came back. We got some momentum back. And then last week, and this was legit, but his stepbrother OD'd and was down in a coma in Colorado Springs in the hospital. So we are going all hands on deck to find two more people because you can't stop life from happening. But what we can do is say, okay, if life happens to Chris, this other person and these other two are still going to be chugging away. So I'm in the same boat, and you don't get immune to it. You know, Brad and Rob, just the original guy, his name was also Chris. When they launched Memphis, he was the first sales rep, and he killed it. He came out of the gate, and he was on fire, and he's not with the company anymore.
Okay.
As of a couple weeks ago. So, and he was like the original guy that said, yeah, I'm in. Let's go. So nobody is immune to it, right? I mean, the personnel game is not going away. A lot of times it doesn't get easier. It's part of it. It's part of being a business owner. So now,
the good thing,
you know, some of you, some of you for the first time are figuring out how this works, and this is it. You got to.
The good thing about
keep stuff on. Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah, the good thing about the guy flaking on me yesterday is what one of the things that I thought I could do better is give them more clear instructions and, you know, more clear targets, KPIs and all that stuff. So I worked through all of that stuff before I was supposed to meet with him. And it actually helps me because now I know how much work I should expect. Like, I came up with something like, in order for me to – I need, like, 75 leads to get an accepted contract is the math that I came up with. I'll email you some of that just to get your opinion on some of my assumptions. But whether I'm right or wrong is not the point. I have the framework in place where I can at least, once I get some more, get a better feel for what's going on, then I know how to go from lead to calculate from lead to accepted contract. And it gives me a better idea of how much time it takes and how many people I need to get to where I'm trying to go.
So I can tell you guys that, Rob's KPIs for the sales team, they're not extraordinary, but they want goals that the team can hit. So the number of calls is 35 phone calls. And here's the thing, too, is I just told Tom about call recording. Our guys are starting on that today because now every call, the way Rob says it is, calls that are not from their FreedomSoft number don't count. But I don't care if you tell me you called 40 people from your cell phone today. I'll believe you. They just don't count. What counts is the calls from FreedomSoft, because then obviously they can go in and look because they're all recorded and they're tracked. So 35 calls a day, offers, they want to be at an offer a day. So sometimes they'll get a day where they talk to two people and make, right? But you've got to figure that out. If your person's new, number of offers made, what do you feel like is realistic for them? You want to get to the point where your salespeople are making an offer plus a day. But the goal, they have at one a day, and we're meeting the goal. Now, as they ramp up, obviously those numbers can change, but these aren't crazy numbers. I'll also tell you that, and Paul, my business partner, and I, we're considering going to W-2 here sooner as opposed to later so that you have to pay a salesperson. This is in Colorado. If you're in a different state, look into your state's employment guide. But you have to pay a commissioned salesperson at least minimum wage, which is like $350 a week or something. But then when the W-2 and the employee verbiage and language is in place, they say, you know, you're working from 8 to 5. That's your day. And so then you can still do commission. And if they close the deal, right, then you subtract out what you paid them, or as long as it was over the minimum wage, you can just pay them that. So it's still there. But what they'll do is, if somebody's been around for 2 weeks and they have nothing, just, you know, you spent $700, but they're gone.
Right.
That shouldn't happen. Not if somebody's really making the calls. So, and then they have a scoreboard. And it's just a spreadsheet, and you can just do a Google Doc, put the salesperson's name, put the days up top, number of calls made, number of offers made, and they're tracking them daily. And then those daily numbers get rolled over to weekly. They do a sales meeting Monday mornings at 8:30, and they pull up the scoreboard. And that, you know, you don't have to look any further than the numbers. You don't need an excuse. You just need a number. How many today? So, yeah, it's rounding out this whole thing. You're going to work to get some good people on board. That's part of it. And so, you know, the challenge is how do you keep everything afloat when you're changing over personnel? And I'm not going to tell you it's easy. It's definitely doable, but it's not easy, you know? So that part's going to be there.
Even after I get good people, I think I think it was a bad idea and a bad habit to not continue to do what I could do. I was trying to offload those sales calls to my first guy because he was really motivated. But looking back on it, maybe if I was calling right there with him to kind of challenge him, I don't know. I wouldn't expect to have to do that with somebody that's proven, but I don't know if I'm ever going to fall for that trap again where I'm not still going as hard as I can go until things change. You know?
It comes from the top. And the thing about it is if you let up a little bit, a lot of the team will. So
yeah.
And this isn't to say you can't have lifestyle, you can't be leveraged, you can't be – that's not it at all. But, you know, using Brad and Rob's business as the model, they don't – Brad is the COO. He's running more of the day-to-day. Rob's the CEO. But they're both. You know, they show up at the office and they put the time in. Now, they're working on some other stuff, right? Like, you know, some big picture type stuff. And I'll tell you where they're at right now is they're having the conversation. They've got a guy in training to manage Memphis. And so they both really want to step out in a big way from the day-to-day operations and have a market manager who's overseeing this whole thing. And so what's pretty interesting is he started as their construction manager, and he did a really good job there. Now they moved him over into dispositions. And this is a guy that if you were to see him the first day he showed up, you wouldn't believe what I'm telling you. So I don't know how old he is, but beat up pickup truck, wears tie-dye every day, just kind of long, shaggy hair, right? If you looked at him, you'd say, you know, this guy's a hippie, just never grew out of it, right? Nothing wrong with that, but that's what you would say. Tie-dye every day. And actually, Brad met him. He was the scrap metal guy. Check this out. He was out, I don't even know how they met, but he was driving around throwing scrap metal, dumpster diving, in his truck, pick up the metal, take it down to the recycling plant, cash it in, get paid, and that's what he's doing for a living. Somehow he meets Brad, and Brad, you know, they start having a conversation, and he's got a little construction background, and I heard Brad made a really interesting comment. He goes, hire emerging talent. I thought that was pretty cool. So he saw something in this guy that led him to believe he could handle more. So he started talking to him, and he said, hey, you want to run some rehabs for me on my houses? Because Brad fixed up all of his Denver rentals, sold them, and now he's buying in cheaper markets, Memphis being one of them. So he's getting rid of all of his rentals here, cashing out, and buying like 5-to-1. In other markets because of the price point difference. So this guy ran all the construction for him. Then, for Brad, then he started running the rehabs for the Memphis operation. Now, and I haven't seen him. Last time I saw him, he was in tie-dye. Now he shows up clean cut, cut his hair, shaved his beard. I about fell over when Rob told me this. And he's like, yeah, he's in training to be our market manager. And he was the guy that 8 months ago was driving around dumpsters looking for scrap metal. Anyway, all that story, sometimes you never know where the talent's going to come from or where it's going to emerge. But that's what they have this guy doing now. So he knows construction, and now he's taking on dispositions, and the goal is in the next 3 to 6 months to just let him manage the entire Memphis market. So it can get there, right? But you've got to build it. They've gone through some salespeople. They've gone through a couple dispositions people. I told you, they threw one contractor in jail. He's still there. So it hasn't come without some bumps and some interesting stories. That's part of it. Nobody's immune to that. So, yeah, Larry, stay on it, man. And I know you will. But hire 2 salespeople this time. Don't put 1 in there. Hire 2. Get them rocking and rolling.
I might do 3. Those 2 just gave me gray hair.
Yeah. And on the flip side, you find a guy like this who's moving through the company, he's not going to go anywhere. He thinks back to 8 to 12 months ago, and he's dumpster diving. And now look how far he's come. I mean, he'll be a lifer. Keep him on, and he's hungry. He's motivated to make it happen. So that's what you're looking for. They're definitely out there, but you're probably going to have to go through some people. So don't get frustrated. Expect it. Post the ad. Talk to more people. And if you have the lead volume, and if you have, you know, more than 500 leads ready to go, you've got room for 2 people. So get them started. Doing fine too.
But I'm starting to end my term with you guys. I've got a couple more meetings, but I'm happy about what I'm learning. Like, I didn't know how to hire these people and how to delegate and all that stuff and go into these markets. I was about to waste a whole bunch of money in mail when this all started. So I'm really happy about this.
So let's good stuff. Let's stay on it, right? I was out all last week, like my email said, but I'll check where your dates are at, Larry. And we've got to finish this really strong. We just got to up everything. Get salespeople on ASAP. Get offers out there. Make it happen, because it's fun when the deals get to the table. And you know that, right? A lot of you on here closed deals before. It's awesome. And especially when you get somebody else that tied up the deal, and then your bird dog went and inspected it, and then whatever, whether you closed on it or somebody else, and you realize, you look back and you say, hey, we were working, but I have very little time in this specific deal because you were busy flying the plane. Right up at the 10,000 foot level, so it's super rewarding, no doubt. So, Larry, anything else?
Nah, man, I'm good.
Okay, let's accelerate, not keep the pace. Let's accelerate. Who else?
Larry Potts, me and Jane are here.
Yep.
Hey.
Things are moving pretty good. We've got probably 350 leads. I worked on my buyer's list. I have a list and trying to get a B list, which I consider the guy that a investor but does a lot of work himself to fit those homes that he couldn't pay a contract to do but would get sweat equity into it. I'm trying to find those, so when I find that type of house. But the A list I have, they're buying over 100 houses a month combined, and they're cash buyers.
How many do you currently have on the A list?
Okay. I have 8.
Love it. You have 8 buyers that are buying over 100 houses a year. Did I hear that right?
A month.
100 a month?
Right.
Jackpot.
I even run into one of those that said his investors are in Israel. Bring me as many as 2 and 15 a month. They want to do 25.
Oh, my gosh. I am so licking my chops for some out-of-the-country money. whether that's wrong or indifferent.
Well, you know, Israel, just a little history. You know, right now, there's the most technologically programming country in the world. So they're generating huge amounts of capital for certain people. And they, you know, there's not a whole lot of, that kind of investment in Israel right now. There's not a lot of old towns that he'd rehabbing.
Not at all. I'm telling you, that guy I came across, he buys beaters, fixes them up, puts tenants in them, and sells them at a 6 cap based on the rents.
Okay.
Back to that exact country.
That's what I'm saying. A 6 cap is like, they just got money.
These
they want to someplace. They got to bury that stuff.
He's selling $120,000 deals in C neighborhoods.
Yeah. Well, I'm very confident of what we have, the list of buyers. We have 350 leads in, and we've got more coming in because we hired some more bird dogs that are starting to understand that, you know, when they send it in, we analyze them, and then we PayPal them. You know, it's a concept that a lot of people don't understand, particularly at the lower end of the spectrum, that people do what they say and pay you when they tell you they'll do it.
Yep.
So they're starting to feed it in, which is a little, you know, it's a people thing when they call. And we had one yesterday call in early in the morning and said, don't send me my check yet. I'm going to go out this morning. And he generated 20 more leads before he said, now send me my check.
Love it.
On PayPal. So,
I love it. So let me ask you two things. Who on your team is talking to sellers?
On the sellers right now, we have two people. And I'm fixing to step up because I'm going to have to lead and get in there and work with the others. Janie has been on LinkedIn. She's been on about 3 other sites hunting for us some acquisition people. But I'm going to have to step in and get my head.
You have two now?
We have two now, but they're part-time.
Really just one. The other one hasn't done anything yet, and I don't know if he's going to.
Okay, so you guys have one goal and one only. You have 8 buyers who want total up to 100 deals a month. you have got to put all hands on deck talking to sellers, and the only reason to talk to sellers is for one KPI, and that's number of offers made. So what I want to know is how many offers are going to go out from your business, I don't care who makes them, how many offers are going out this week between today and now and Friday?
I'm getting a finger pointed at me. Well, tomorrow I will be on the phone, and then we're going on vacation for 3 days. So, you know, it sounds like we're a little bit.
So you better find somebody.
Who's
going
to
be making
offers? We are trying to pull out. And one of the goals I just told Janie was we had hired people from the area that we could go and hand train them. But I said, that's not going to do it. We've got to hire people remotely. And just my feeling, experience, let me say that. I'm old and experienced, whatever. There's so many people out in rural areas that have talent that either fell out of corporate America, decided to get away from the rat race, that has corporate, you know, experience that may be out doing an organic farm, but are looking for ways to earn income remotely so that they can be at home, make the calls, and do the rest of their life. So we're kind of pursuing that because I know that across the country there's probably thousands of people that would love to sit down and make phone calls every day.
Thousands. Yep, there are bunches of them, especially on these are, you know, just from talking to Chris, our sales guy, he said these are some of the easiest conversations he's ever had in phone sales.
Yeah.
It's not rocket science, and they can sell big ticket items.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys, you have got to solve that piece ASAP. And the number one stat, the only goal.
The acquisition is the guy that's got to do it. You know?
The only goal that you two are chasing or the only KPI is number of offers made.
Okay.
That's it.
Well, two of our buyers today were from Bandit Signs. One was a gentleman, had a great conversation with him, good guy. I'm going to meet him personally whenever I go down there. His family had been doing it in Texas. His wife wanted to live near the beach, so they divided the family business, and he went to Tampa. And he's the acquisition guy.
Okay.
And but they have crews ready to do rehab. So I know that, you know, many houses that we see, we got places to send them to.
That's awesome. Hey, you know, let me ask you this, too. The out-of-the-country money, do they want the properties in distress shape or they want them rehabbed?
From $50 to $5 million or more, if the numbers work, quote-unquote.
Condition, are they going to manage the construction or they want the properties that are already fixed up?
From the ones, the beaters, to the all the other way. The guy, you know, my contact person, which I did on E-Verify, or what's it?
Ben Verified,
which is kind of a questionable guy, you know, if he's the person out of four that has the same name. But he said that it doesn't matter in that whole spectrum. If the numbers work, and I've got the formula what he's looking for, if I meet that criteria, he's a cash buyer, close in 2 weeks.
Okay.
You know, that's all
a big deal. This is a big deal. And if they want them fixed up, this is what Rob offers in Memphis. He'll buy it and then fix it up for you.
Okay.
So you just got to drill down on that. It sounds like they'll take anything. Typically, now I could be wrong, but typically out of the country wants a house that's already in decent shape. However, they may just have found a contractor in the States here. And they say, hey, I just bought it. Go renovate this one. That could be – I'm not saying that's not the case.
No, that's part of the case. I told him he don't drive no damn nails. He's the acquisition person, and he makes everything else work.
Nice.
So, you know, that tells me exactly what you're saying. And some of the others are, you know, big-time home builders.
Hey,
how
did you find this buyer? Because everybody else on the call wants to know.
Was that one too?
No, that was on our A list. That was the one.
That was through the
VA.
Through the list of buyers that we got from the list source.
List source. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unbelievable. So you bought a list source list. The VA skipped transit and you called them.
Yeah, I just made the call. Just worked my way through it. You know, the six or eight numbers.
Right.
Call them. Talk to them. And
it's almost like a conversation. It's almost like the training works. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah. It was asked when we joined this program, are we trainable? Yeah, I'm trainable. I may not be educatable, but I'm trainable.
I love it. So, yeah, that's such a valuable list. And I know multiple of you have done that. It gives you, right, you map it. Now you know where all the investor activity is. Now you know where to send your bird dogs. Assuming you grab the last sale price from ListSource, you can see what properties are selling for. And then skip trace the list and start calling buyers.
Yeah. Well, the bandit signs are helping too. We're really getting
cool. Bandit signs work.
Getting our guys looking for bandit signs, so they're starting to turn those in more too. So yeah.
Yeah, bandit signs are effective.
$3 for a bandit sign.
We always have to, when we talk about them, say follow the local rules and regs, but there is no question that bandit signs work.
Yeah.
And you can do whatever you want with them. So, and we've talked about this on here before, right? You can find buyers that way. You can find sellers that way. If it says, you know, buyer, I'm looking for property in this area, whatever. You can also sell deals that way. And either you own the address or you don't, so your bandit sign verbiage would match, but contract on a property for sale in this area. Make sure that lines up, right? If you don't own it, if you own the property, you can say property for sale in this neighborhood. But you can do a lot with bandit signs, no doubt.
Well, I instructed our bird dog, even though he, you know, we said no realtor sign, I explained to him why realtors are, you know, kiss of death because they suck money out of the middle of it and work for the seller. But I did also say, and I'm going to explore it, and maybe you'll prove me wrong, but my gut tells me after in sales, if he finds somebody for sale for, by owner, he or she will answer the phone. And if I can get in a conversation with them, I can find out their needs and what their hot buttons are, whether they're willing to sell today or whether they have to be gone in 3 months.
Right.
So, you know, trying to put our bird dogs to look for sale by owner is, you know, I told, if we have $5 into it, for sale by owner, that's damn worth it. I'm willing to make some phone calls on those, even though that's not our target.
For sale by owner, the sellers typically get calls from agents that say, hey, I know this isn't going well, pay me a bunch of fees and I'll sell your property. So, for you to call up after a couple of those, for you to call up and say, no, I'm not an agent. I'd still like to help you sell your house, but you don't have to pay me for it. That could be a refreshing conversation. In our experience, they can go either way.
Yeah.
It just depends. But, yeah, if your bird dog's grabbing them, worth the phone call.
I know if they don't want to sell today, you know, history of my sales experience, by the sixth time you contact them, they think they're your friends. They know your name. They know your number. You're talking with them, and they'll let their guard down, and you'll really know what they want.
Yeah, that's what this whole business should be about is, you know, relationship-based sales and really, you know, figuring out. You got to care about the problem. I mean, you got to care about the sellers you're talking to and your team. When you build a sales team, they have to be the same way, right? They can't see paycheck. We're problem solvers. We get paid to solve a problem. I mean, we want the paycheck. Can't chase the paycheck. Figure out, you know, what's keeping somebody up at night, and do we have a solution for them? And if you can get your team into that mindset, they'll be really effective on the phone because people can sense, just like you. You can sniff out a money chaser on a phone call.
Okay. So one other thing, I had a long discussion with our head bird dog yesterday.
Yeah.
He's in the semi-ghetto, African-American, got fire in his gut beyond belief. He's the one that rides the bicycle to go do what needs to be done.
Yep.
But he had been in a neighborhood in Tampa that where they recently had a murder rapist.
Yep. Yep.
And he was stopped, and he showed his ID. And I suggested to him and Janie, we hadn't talked about how to do it, but to get a ID with their picture on it, give our name, JL Property Investors, and give a number – so that he has some credibility. If he walks through the neighborhood and somebody looks at him, he can see his ID badge. Has anybody else done that?
No, and I'm going back to a safety thing. If this particular part of town is in that much turmoil, you know, you guys just call. You're watching the news and what's going on, but maybe tell him to steer clear there for a little bit.
Well, no, it's not a shaky part of town.
Okay.
This is because he's an African-American in certain streets. You know, I ask people, well, I'm in a gated community. If somebody walks in front of me, I ask them, you know, how they doing, who they're looking for. But the same thing happens, you know, profiling. You know,
so
it's just reality.
Profiled.
You know.
Okay.
And
yeah, I've been, I'll be honest, I haven't come across this one. I kind of like where you're at. I mean, he's on your team, so give him some ammo to help him when that, you know, when that comes around, if and when that happens. So.
Yeah. He can disarm him, but if he has something a little bit better to disarm him to start with, you know, his ID, it's plus his own personal IDs, you know, the credibility just jumps.
He may only need just a business card. And here's the other thing about it. You never know who he's going to meet down there, who may be buying or chatting. Or I mean, they could take a potentially negative encounter at first and turn positive. I don't know if he maybe just needs a business card that says, here's the company I represent with your phone number on there. Feel free to call him.
We'll explore that because, you know, I would like all our bird dogs to have an ID tag. You know, just
whatever you think is best. Yep, I haven't come across that one, but whatever you think is best to help them out.
I just didn't know if anybody else had done that. Not that, you know, to solve a problem is not there, but to also give credibility. You know, when you get that credibility, people will talk to you if they're comfortable.
Yeah.
Okay. Just had to throw that out.
Yep.
As I sit here, make my phone calls and go, yeah, got to get this done.
Yeah, good stuff, you two. It's all about number of offers made. That's it. That is the key KPI. You've got buyers on the back end that can move them. You don't need 1,000 buyers. I mean, you've got a handful that can move 100 deals a month. So put pause on buyers for now. All about number of offers made.
Yeah, I'm looking for the B and C list of buyers for the 2 and 3 and 1 property in the last year and a half. I'm going to work those and get some kind of relationship with them. The guy, the home rehabber that wants to put sweat equity to get him some investment property. You know,
and that's great. Let's get a deal. Let's get a deal to the finish line. So you have somebody that'll take it now. Let's get deals in there. And then once you have a couple salespeople on board talking to sellers and that kind of thing, you want to keep buying, meeting A buyers and B buyers. That's great. But let's get a deal under contract. Get it to this group.
I'm ready for
it. Is there an echo? Did we get married last night? Is that my wife?
That I'm telling you, don't put any focus into anything other than who's going to make offers and how many can we make per week. That's it.
Yeah.
So if you wander from this point on, it's on you, not me. Got it?
Got it, Larry?
That's right. Everybody else on here is my witness, and it's recorded, so. Go make. Now you have to bring a deal to these buyers, or else we're not going to turn a check. At the end of the day, obviously, that's why you're here. So how many offers can you make per week starting this week? That's the challenge, and that's the goal. Who else?
Hi, this is Mike. How are you doing, Mike?
Good, Mike. How are you?
Good. So, things definitely started to pick up. I feel like I'm getting some good traction going on. Actually, I made 7 offers last Friday.
Now, have you heard back on any of them?
From my buyers list. My sales guy, he needed to finish up the zip code. He wanted to finish it instead of just leaving it half done. It was a fairly sizable zip code for the bird dogs last week. So he did that, finished it up Tuesday. Got him in training on Wednesday, got him in Freedom Soft, gave him some, you know, some parameters, and I just let him go dig around and figure out what he needed to in there. So Thursday he started calling, got 16 calls out on Thursday, and I think he was just trying to get things figured out. Talked to a couple people, really didn't get much conversation going too far. I think he's just still trying to figure out the script. So those 7 that I made, one gal, some of them come off of Go Section 8. Some of them come from one of my bird dogs had a associate or someone that she knew that had a bunch of rentals, and she says, I think he might be interested in selling. So I gave him a call. He gave me four addresses. I looked them all up and shot him some offers on all four of those. The lady who has two rentals, I called her just asking if she was looking to add to her portfolio and whatnot. She's not. Actually, I'd like to get rid of a couple. So she gave me the addresses. I went and looked them up, threw her some offers, and she's got loans on both of the properties. So her offers were retail offers, basically.
Yep.
So no biggie. They just moved on. The last guy that I had sent some offers into on Friday is another buyer/investor, buy and hold. He kind of does everything. He's a AAA rated contractor who does his own construction, does full scrapes and builds, new builds, rehabs. And, he was very interested in hearing what I had to offer and any leads that I had coming in that he was interested. He also wanted me to, that property that we got his information from was from Bird Dog. It's just a house that was vacant. He says, well, make me an offer on that property. So I put some numbers together, made him an offer on Friday. So I'm still waiting back to hear from him. So any of the ones I've made on Friday, I'm still waiting.
That's Mike, let me tell you this. Average 7 offers a week.
Yep.
And then get that to 10, get it to 2 a day, 5 days a week. Keep the good leads coming in and get your offers to 10 a week, and you will not recognize where you're at in 30 to 60 days.
Yeah. So today started off really well.
That's a big deal. And let me just pause, because there some of the biggest hesitation in this whole process is making offers for good reason, because you know that, holy cow, my name's on this thing, this is a legal document, and I'm putting an offer out there, and you may or may not have everything figured out if they accept.
Sure.
And so it can be nerve-wracking. The thing about it, though, is after 5, 7, 10, 20, there is zero, it turns over to excitement, and there's zero hesitation. And so the only way to get from hesitant to not hesitant is to make offers, which you did. So I want to pause and say, we don't have a contract yet, but this is a big deal, and we're not going to blow right past it, because it becomes the norm. And then what will happen is you'll go through, and it'll be Thursday, and you've only made 2 offers that week, and now that'll be uncomfortable. Like, holy crap, we got to get 10 offers out this week. Where are we going to find them? Right?
Yep.
Up front, it's the nerves are tied to making the offer. Where you want to get it is the nerves are tied to no offers are going out. Like,
yeah,
what are we gonna? We got to fix this.
So, I'm there now. I mean, today was a good day too.
That's
a
big deal. So I didn't want to blow past it. So nice job.
Okay.
That's a big win.
So today went really well. My sales guy, he's doing really well. I mean, it kind of last week was just getting him started, but today he ended up calling about 40 people, 40 numbers, got a hold of quite a few, got a hold of about 7 or 8 of them. Some of them are just not interested in selling. Did get 3 people that want offers. I threw him some numbers. He threw a guy an offer today. So that's one today. I'm gonna get 2 offers and have him send them over tomorrow. So that'll be 3 off of his calls today. So,
nice.
Yeah, we're
that's
starting
a big
off
deal
pretty well. Yeah. So
I'm telling you, this is the key stat.
Yeah.
No doubt.
And that's kind of what I told my sales guy too.
You keep this up, and in the near future, we'll be talking about, okay, this one's under, let's get the closing scheduled, and then that'll move to, here's our closing day. And then somebody's going to be racking their brain on this call going, how's he doing it? How's he doing it? How's he doing it? And I'm telling you right now, making offers. That's it.
That's it.
Everything else, and you've heard me say this, everything else we do in this business is so that we can do one thing, and that's make an offer to a seller. So,
and the numbers, I'm comfortable with the numbers I'm putting out there. I'm looking at what the properties are. Some of them were turnkey rentals.
Yep.
I looked at their rental rates. values of the houses in the areas aren't going to support a fix and flipper. So okay. I just went off of an ROI and an
yep.
and RLC and based the numbers off of those. And those are a little bit higher than probably what the ARV is going to be on the house. So just using that on those.
Here's the thing. I'm not going to ask you to talk to us about a deal because mm-hmm. this is in line with what we teach, and that is these don't get any more due diligence until that that seller says yes. You're on yeah. to the next offer, to the next offer, to the next offer. Oh, this yeah. person said yes? Okay, let's go verify what we offered. And yeah. so I'm not even going to ask you how did you run your numbers, anything like that, because I don't want you putting any yeah. more time, energy, and effort into it. The offer's gone. Get yeah. the reply. And then when you have one that's under contract, then we'll say, okay, break down the deal. What does it look like? What do you have?
Okay.
So,
perfect.
And I want all of you thinking that way as well. Where so many people get stuck, and here's why. They get stuck because it's scary to make an offer. And so how they justify it is they say, ooh, I'm just not sold on the numbers yet. I haven't found three good comps, yada, yada, yada. And they get stuck in analysis mode. And what they're really doing is saying, I'm afraid to make this offer, so I'm just going to be busy in analysis because that seems like the right thing to do, and the offers never go. I would rather you do very little analysis up front, fire the offer, get the response that says yes, and then go back to the table and say, okay, now what do we have? That's the right order, and I'm telling you, that is one of the hardest concepts for investors to figure out. But like you just heard Mike say, he made seven in a day, and now any hesitation that was maybe or maybe not there, whatever, it's gone. Now he's just like, bam, how many more can I get out this week? You have to get to that point. That's a must. So it's a big old pat on the back, Mike, is what I'm giving you here. Nice job.
Thank you. So and my sales
pointed out
guy is
a big hurdle that you've cleared. It's a big deal.
Yeah.
So go ahead.
Yeah. My sales guy is doing very well, and I was going to post an ad in Denver and in Utah as well, but I didn't do that because he definitely was like kind of jumping in there, and I still think I need to just push forward and get an ad out there and just start running through, and just because I'm going to need an acquisitions guy and I'm going to also need a dispositions guy, so I think I would be better served. So if something does happen or go south,
okay,
then I can back it up.
Put another one on acquisitions. If you're giving people the disc test and they are high D, they're going to be motivated by competition.
Okay.
And that's exactly what you want in a sales department. So for any of you, and again, you've heard me say this, if you have the number of leads, right, you don't have 40, because one person's going to burn through 40 in 2 days. But if you have north of 500 leads, don't hire one salesperson. Go get two. Put them on the phone.
Mark.
Set up your tracking sheet with your Google Doc. They've got to post their number of calls, their number of offers made, and get some internal competition going. Because you want it there. It'll drive things forward. And then, now, if you have two good people on acquisitions, and one of them maybe, you know, you want to give them a bigger role, or you're comfortable moving them to dispositions, or you want to give them a lateral move, whatever. Either, you know, if they're starting to gel and they get along and they're kind of, you know, tongue in cheek, hey man, I got another one. Hey, I got another one. And they're motivating each other. Don't, if it's not broken, don't touch it. Let them go.
Sure.
And let that competition kind of build in the company to get deals on the board. Because it's that's the point of when Brad and Rob do that Monday morning sales call at 8:30 or sales meeting. If you've been slacking last week, you're not looking forward to showing up on Monday because the numbers are coming forward, right?
Yeah.
Get them on the table and talk about it. And so that accountability piece, however you do it, but, you know, again, very simple to set up a Google Doc and invite your sales team to it. Post them here. This is it. At the end of each day, there's got to be a number here. But we've got a problem.
Yeah. I heard you had offered to send kind of what you're using to solicit your salespeople in your ads. Do you mind sending that, emailing that to me? I just want to kind of just
look over it, kind
yeah,
of see
you,
how you're ordering things. And
remind me, shoot me an email to the coaching email, success team one.
I did do that earlier today. I don't know if you didn't get it.
I didn't.
I've sent a couple of them in there, and I hadn't gotten responses back, and I know it's going to the right one. It's going to success team.
Yeah, I checked that multiple times today, Mike, so let's get to the bottom of that, too.
I sent it this morning. So I'll double-check and see, make sure that it's going to success team at realamericanwealth.com, and I put attention you in the question for Mike and the
It may have I've been looking in my phone and not on my computer, and my phone doesn't show spam. Let me look into it. It's probably in there. I'll check.
Okay.
It's probably there.
So, all right.
Yeah, sometimes your emails come in and hit the spam folder from some of you on that, and I don't know why. So, anyway. Yeah, I'll look, Mike.
I'm just going to keep pounding it forward. I'll try to get him on the phone. I got to get the rest of his leads followed up. I have found a considerable amount that are coming back with no good numbers, so I made a folder in FreedomSoft. I'm calling. Need to send back to Skip Tracer to have him re-skip trace these leads.
Make sure you're tracking which service was used so that when you re-skip trace, you can use a different one. So.
Okay.
Yep.
And then I got about another 120 that I'm going to send to the Skip Tracer tonight.
Okay.
Have him get those skip traced, and then I'm going to have him. I hadn't had him do my buyers list yet.
Yeah.
I'm going to have him do that as well. So I'll get
probably
another 140 or so skip traced, and keep my sales guy on the phone. And
nice. That's it. I'm telling you, if you make this 7 to 10 offer a month, the normal KPI for your business, you'll crush this. We can always fine-tune and tweak offers and marketing and that kind of thing. But if you will set this is the tone of our business, everything we do is around this one stat, and that's the number of offers made. If you build the culture around that and just make sure that that's clear from day one, it'll be game over. I mean, that is the key stat, which isn't news to anybody that's been on a handful of these calls. So. Cool. Anything else, Mike?
No, I think we're good.
All right. Cool. Cool. Who else?
Hey, what's up, Mike? It's Ryan.
Hey, Ryan.
Hey, man. So I'm in a similar position as some of these guys. I got plenty of leads loaded that skip traced that's, ready to go. I probably got around 350 that skip traced right now. Right now I'm having some trouble. I went through my second sales guy. He had made some calls and he had made some progress, but his father actually died last week. And I think that he wasn't as motivated as I would like anyway. So I think that kind of gave him a reason to be done with it. And I didn't, want to, push him or anything like that. So I I had a conversation with him, and then, I kind of took some time and, let him kind of see what he was going to do, and he didn't, respond the way that I would like him to. So I decided to just end that and move on. So right now I'm just, looking for another sales guy. I'm actually repost my ad to see. Maybe I may try to post it in another city. I did it in Chicago.
Okay.
I'm going to maybe try to post it in another city. Do you have any suggestions for that as far as
local. Yeah, you heard Mike talk about Salt Lake just because that's a sales floor hub. There isn't a right or wrong. Get it posted, keep it updated. And sometimes you have to go through numbers. I think Mike found somebody pretty quick. And, some other people on here are going through 2, 3, 4 people. So here's what I would tell you is find two. Find two.
Yeah, that's my plan.
Stay on the leads and keep talking to people until you have two on board and trained and making calls.
Yep.
That's how you got to do it.
Yep, that's definitely a plan. So I think I'm gonna just have to step into their role and, you know, start making those calls until I can find someone that's consistent and, you know, that's good for the role. So I kind of slacked off on that end because I was kind of just focusing on, you know, finding someone to make the calls for me. And
right.
I kind of stopped making those calls. But, you know, I was working some different leads that, you know, are kind of hot for me right now that I'm still working. But, you know, I did slack off on that part. But I'm constantly building leads and, you know, getting new leads in and building that funnel. So that's something I'll continue to do. And I've also been talking to buyers. I probably, in the process, because I do have a property that I'm trying to sell right now, so in the process of trying to sell that, I've probably met about 5 new buyers here in my area. So that's been positive. But I'm still trying to, like I said, I'm still trying to flip that deal. I have a guy that I met that I actually found him because he responded to another one of my mail pieces. He said he wasn't looking to sell that particular property, but he said he liked my mail piece so much that he wanted to just call me and talk to me. I found I had a conversation with him. He owns about 160 properties. He actually happens to own one in the neighborhood that I'm the property that I'm trying to get rid of now. So he's gonna we're gonna have a conversation tomorrow. He said he was really busy today, so he couldn't get around to it. So hopefully he'll be able to get around to the property tomorrow and take a look at it. And, you know, putting an offer on it. So I know that it's coming up soon. I'm on the line for that one. That one has to close by the 5th of February. So, but the sellers are really good. Really cool. I built some good rapport with those guys. So if I needed to extend it a week or so, I don't think they would have a problem with it. But I really want to, you know, shoot to get rid of it.
Yeah, here's the thing. If you've got a live one, and you're having some turnover with the salesperson, I want your live deal priority. I still want you to get an ad posted.
Come on.
If you can get somebody in the meantime. But yeah, let's get a buyer for this one the 5th is, you know, the 5th will be here faster than we know it. Let's get that thing locked up.
Yeah, that's been my main focus of trying to get that one locked up. You know, went on Go Section 8. You know, that particular city didn't have a lot of postings on Go Section 8, but I did contact the guys that were on there. And although they weren't interested in this particular deal, I was able to add them to my buyers list because they are still buying. You know, I've been contacting guys off of Craigslist and Zillow, so I've been really trying to push to get it locked up. So I'm gonna just keep going at it, and you know, keep trying to reach out to guys to try to get rid of it. I think it's just because it's a smaller 2-bedroom. You know, a lot of people are looking for the 3-bedrooms around here where I am, but it's a 2-bedroom and it's a smaller.
What do you have it?
But
what do you have it under contract for?
I have it under contract for $11,000.
How much work does it need?
Probably about 12, I would say.
Okay, so all in for 23, call it 25 with some closing costs. What are you trying to?
Yep.
What's your wholesale fee on it?
My wholesale fee, I'm trying to do it for like 17.5. I know I probably can shoot a little bit more and they'll still get a pretty decent return, but
so
people are kind of
plus 12,000. Somebody's all in it. Call it 30. Close enough. What is it rent for?
Probably rent for like 650.
650 times 70%, 455 net monthly times 12, 5460 net annual divided by 30,000, 18.2 cap.
Yeah, it's a really good cap.
You have got
really
to play. How many times can you tell this story over and over and over? So if everybody wants 3 beds, then you have to give them a reason why they want a 2, and that's it. That is a killer return.
Yeah, and that's the story I've definitely been pushing. You know, I don't know if I've just been catching people in, you know, different stages. You know, most of the people I've been talking to have been working on different projects. But, like, I've been, you know, really stressing that this, you know, it's a really good, really great return. And
hey,
it's a really great
do
property,
this. Go
so.
To if somebody buys this remote, could you manage construction for them?
Yeah, I could.
Okay.
Yeah, I could.
post into your bigger cities, your more expensive cities, Denver, Austin,
okay.
Seattle, Portland, D.C., where that return doesn't exist.
Okay.
And you just have to be – you don't own the property yet, so you have to be bland on the ad. Turnkey rental, 18 cap, and that's taking 30% off gross rents.
Okay.
If it, right, if you get it all excited about that return, call me.
Okay. Okay,
so
I'll
can,
definitely
you can put something like contract for sale on an 18 cap deal, single family home. Just keep it really vague.
Okay, and just get on.
You don't own the property, but yeah.
Okay.
And here's the thing: you're probably going to have to figure out the construction form. But if you don't, you got to have that same ad posted in your local market as well. And just start telling that story. But, yeah, that's a smoking little deal.
Yeah, yeah. So,
I mean,
I don't have any doubt I'll get rid of it.
Here's the deal, too, is, I mean, kids typically beat up rentals more than pets ever do. I mean, you get the occasional pet that's wild and chews on things, but kids are the terror. So the more bedrooms you have, the more likely you're going to rent that sucker with kids. I mean, a little 2-1 could be you know, one or two kids, but it could also just be that, you know, 40 to 50 year old professional either doesn't have kids or kids are moved out and they've got a guest bedroom. So when somebody wants to come visit, right?
Yep.
And that's a great little tenant profile.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause you don't have toddlers in the place coloring on the walls. So,
right.
Yeah, man. Tell that story over and over and over. That's a nice little payday too.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Good stuff. All right. What else?
But like I said, I'm just keeping it that. I'll definitely work that deal and get rid of that one. Other than that, you know, I feel really confident in the system.
Cool.
You know, everything that I've been learning with this, you know, I feel like I could go in, you know, pretty much any city, analyze it, and you know, get started remotely. I feel really good about that, and I feel really good about
that. Can I interrupt by the middle of this, please?
Oh, yeah.
If you got a Cap 18 deal and it falls through, let me know, and let me see these international investors. If they're buying Cap 6, someplace in between, you can make money, I can make money.
You don't even want to know what a Cap 6 looks like on that. let's look just for fun. You guys could figure out how to buy it, take it down, fix it up, partner on it. So 650 times 650 times 70%, 455 times 12, 5460 divided by 0.06, 91 grand, 6 cap.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That is no joke. I mean, you could even move it at a 10 and make a boatload. And those deals, that's all day long. I mean, a lot of, especially if it's turnkey, 10%?
Yep.
All day, every day, find the buyers. Yeah, there's some chicken on that bone.
Definitely.
That's serious. I mean, the return on that is just crazy. So,
and that's what I've been, this dialogue I've really been pushing is, this is, a crazy return. You'll have all your money back in no time.
Hey, Larry, what's your number here? Brian, write it down. You guys got to talk.
706. Larry Potts, JL Properties, 706-296-1026. Let me know.
Well,
all right,
guys,
I got you, Larry.
If Larry's taking it completely to a different list, put 15 or 20 grand on that purchase price, the numbers are still going to work. And then don't have the same property out there with two of you saying it's at a different price, but Larry's going to be talking to people who are nowhere near your list in that market. So,
well,
right.
Other Larry, if you run into there and yours aren't full, talk to me and we can figure out something.
I'll do that, Larry.
That's all I want to know. If you make a deal, that's great. If not, I don't let any deal fall through. They either buy or die.
Well, there, yeah, exactly. There's plenty of deal on this bowl, on this one for you guys to bowl.
Yeah, and like what I was saying,
you can find
a
buyer.
I have no doubt that I'll be able to flip it. I just haven't ran into that, you know, that exact right person yet, which I know I will. I just have to, keep at it.
I'd call Larry as soon as this thing were done, because you're looking at, you think you can make $6,500. He might be able to up that to 10 to 12 for both of you.
Yeah.
I mean, he may be able to double it with this pool of buyers. So, yeah, this is why we, you know, there is no competition. We should buy from, sell to, or partner with everybody else. This is the way you want to see the world.
Yeah, this is the purpose of the conference call that I see.
Absolutely. Yep, the how-tos, the mindset, and let's get deals to the closing table. No doubt.
Absolutely.
Cool. Anything else?
Nope, that's pretty much it.
Okay, great update. Who else? I got to tell you guys, I missed these calls last week. It didn't work out, but I've been sick in bed all afternoon. And I was like, oh, good Lord, I got to do the office hours call. I feel like crap. And I jump on here, and I feel better than I felt all day, because I like talking about this stuff, so. Thanks for showing up.
If you're sick in Colorado, I'll get you a house in Tampa if you're willing to move.
Therapy for me. We've got that, with our three little kids, we've got that flu/whatever that we've been giving it back and forth to each other for about 7 months. It's driving us crazy.
Wow.
We just can't get it out of here. So, anyway, this is the last hour and 20 minutes here has been the best part of my day. So thanks for showing up. Like I said,
thank you for showing up.
This is good stuff to talk about. It's challenging and it's not easy, but it's worth it. And it's fun when things start to click. And you know, things start popping and you all start making offers and getting in the middle of stuff. And it's fun. I hope there's the same amount of energy that you feel, that I feel for all of you, because it's a cool business, no doubt. It's a cool business we're in. Who else? Before I go, we hang up and I go back to feeling like crap. Anybody? I know we didn't have a few last week, so I'd like to keep the calls to 90 minutes, but if we've got a couple lingering questions, that's fine. Let's make sure everybody's back on track. And I think we've covered, whether you chimed in or not, we've covered a lot of different topics, right? If I'm talking to one person, I'm talking to everybody. You know how all this works. So keep the leads coming in, right? The big three. Generate leads. Make offers. Notice it's not talk to sellers. That's not one of the big three. One of the big three is make offers. That implies that, of course, you have to talk to sellers. But we've got to, you and your sales team have got to be picking up the phone with that goal, that every person who picks up on the other end of that line is getting an offer, every single one. That's the goal. Generate leads, make offers, meet buyers. Everything else we do is so that we can make those three things happen. Yeah.
On some of the people that my sales guys contact, and they're saying that they're not interested in selling at this time, should I try to get him just to maybe just say, hey, how about we just send you an offer just to see if there's any interest? I mean, it ain't going to hurt to stop, drop, and roll.
You can't, a couple different things. Great question, by the way. A couple different things, and you're going to have to read the situation a little bit. If somebody's just, don't even make me one, this is what you're reading, that's a waste of your time, then you want to say, great, would you mind if I follow up with you in about 45 days to see if your situation's changed? You know, what's the best email? And use an autoresponder in FreedomSoft to just drip on them. If somebody's on the fence and maybe they sort of gave you a verbal, but then you haven't been able to get a hold of them, but you felt like there was some life there, that there was a chance they were going to accept it, and now you're just either in phone tag mode, they've dropped off the face of the earth, something like that, then absolutely fire out the offer. Put a 40, you know, assuming you have their email, that's best because you can get it to them right away. but you do have their address. So if you do that, you have to give it a little more time because it's going to take 2 to 3 days to get there, and then you want to give them 48 to 72 hours. So absolutely send them an offer. So just you have to read the situation. If somebody's up and down, nope, I'm not even considering selling, and your offer shows up, now you're just annoying me. Whereas you could just really politely say, hey, let me follow up with you in 45 to 60 days and see if your situation's changed. You mind if I do that? I'll just shoot you an email quick. What's the best email address? And now you have my permission to follow up with me, and when you do that, we're still friends. So the answer is you'll use both. Just read the situation.
Okay.
But yeah, great question, Mike.
So I've got in FreedomSoft, I set up, you kind of went through in one of the classrooms and showed up how to set up underneath the leads to make it easier for my sales guy. I basically just put a header follow-up leads and put a list of drop-downs.
Okay.
And then put them so that they show up on my dashboard and kind of just to communicate where he's at on the leads. So I had made a list of, like, made contact, needs follow-up call, made offer, did not accept offer, accepted offer, send contract as soon as possible, made offer, waiting for seller to reply, not interested to sell at this time, follow-up call needed, need skip tracing, need to reskip tracing for errors because the family members may not be deceased or whatever, or in control of the estate. Left a voicemail, no answer, voicemail full, because I got that a couple times where it gives you on their cell phone, their voicemail's full, so just to call back.
Yep.
Ring but no answer, which, call obviously is still going through, just nobody's home, and then sent an SMS text message. So my sales guy could just go down and grab one of those if it makes sense, and then below it, he can put in the comments, any other information that he has to add.
Perfect. I'm all for, and once you figure out how to build a workflow and create your custom statuses in FreedomSoft, and it's not complicated, right? You got to do it once or twice, but it's not hard. There's a video in there in the classroom, it's right at the top of the classroom, in that top section on the right side called Workflow Automation. But yeah, I absolutely, when we brought Chris on, we sat down and I said, hey, these are the statuses we've used in the real estate world. Can you adjust over to these easy, or do we need to modify them a little bit so that you don't even have to think? You can just go in and work statuses. And so he was pretty good with them. We made a couple modifications. But when you know how to do that, now subsequent people coming in are going to learn the system. But when I hired my first guy and he was sharp, and I said, hey, let's customize this thing so that this is an easy transition. And so, yeah, good stuff. Whatever you feel like you need a status for, you can put in there so that your salespeople are effective.
Yeah, and I wanted to show up on my dashboard so that when I go into the dashboard and looking at all my leads that he's either dealt with or not, that I can see exactly where he's at in those without having to go into every lead every time.
Yeah. You can look on the dashboard or you can click into that each campaign and look at the pie chart. But, yeah, from your standpoint, go right to the dashboard and you can see all campaigns. All statuses.
Yeah.
So that's exactly why that's there. So, Mike, if your salesperson isn't using a FreedomSoft number, I talked about it early in this call, I highly recommend it.
Yeah.
Get them on there and turn on. You have to pay a little bit for it, but the pricing chart's in there. It's not expensive. For you to be able to go in and listen to your salespeople on the phone and then just do some training with them, it's unbelievable.
Yeah,
I mean, it's as good as – it's even better than if you're sitting in an office with them. And most of us are going to have remote salespeople, right? Now, you may have some little office space here down the road, that kind of thing. But for now, you can listen to every conversation and figure out what are they doing well, what are they not doing so well, right? And just go back just to get better. I mean, the better they get, the more money they make.
Sure.
So – everybody wins when your salespeople get more efficient on the phone. So
I'll do that tomorrow. I'll buy a number on FreedomSoft. I've got two numbers I have through this Flip app, which are about double the cost of the FreedomSoft number, and they're month to month. So
So you'll be saving money
one of those off,
and have
yeah,
everything
yeah.
recorded. So,
yeah, exactly.
Do that ASAP. Yep.
So, all right.
Good stuff, everybody. Anything else quick as we wrap up? All right. Great call. I'm going to go try and eat something because I haven't eaten a bite of anything all day. So see how this goes.
Yeah, well,
I'll hopefully be back to my normal self by Thursday. But, yeah, but a lot of really good stuff happening. And I'm telling you, Mike Gerace set the bar here for this call. He's leading the way. 7 offers last week. I don't know that anybody else made more, but let's throw it. I'm going to start asking every call who's made the most offers since the previous. And we're going to have a little internal bragging rights going on here. So I'm going to ask again on Thursday when we jump in, how many offers did you make since Monday? And that is the key stat across the board. And I have a hunch that even though Larry and Janie are going on vacation, that they're going to win this on Thursday. That's my hunch. So I don't know if they're still on, but I'm just trying to put a little more pressure on them. So that's all. All right, everybody. Yeah, great call. A lot of good stuff happening. So stay on it. We'll talk Thursday. And everybody take care, and we'll chat soon.
All right. Good night.